Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues, etc. journal.
We will not see the end of threats like ISIS until we repent of our addiction to fossil fuels.
This is the end, my only friend, the end.
A growing majority of Americans, about 72% now, say that religion is losing influence in American life, and most who hold this view think that this is a bad thing.
I tell the story of attending a large Bible church where the pastor started off with a bunch of shoulds, and he finished with a bunch of shoulds, and he shoulded all over us the entire sermon.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love issues, etc. Bye.
I think it's been long enough. I mean, it hasn't been that long in the sweep of human history, but it's about time, don't you think, that those who call themselves Lutheran and remain close to the Lutheran confessions, adhering to them in an unequivocal way, call to repent those who have departed, not only from the Lutheran confessions, but from, well, in some cases, any semblance of biblical teaching. They have cut the moorings between themselves, these Lutherans, and the Bible itself. Don't you think it's time that those who still remain moored to the Bible, still remain anchored firmly to the solid rock that is Holy Scripture, call those who call themselves Lutheran to repent? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about calling liberal Lutheranism to repent, as Dr. Curtis Lines will be our guest here in the first half hour or so of Issues Etc. He's presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. A little bit later, we're going to talk with Pastor Ted Giese, do a regular movie review with him. The movie's called The Maze Runner. We'll see what it's all about. Then we're going to talk about church planting. Does church planting happen when a pastor just kind of sends a layperson off into the field, say, go start a church in your house? Is there something more to it biblically than simply starting up something new? Pastor Steve Shave will be our guest. He's director of Urban Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then it is Friday afternoon, the end of the broadcast week. We'll be playing Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, in the last half hour of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email right here in the studio, or vote for a soundbite of the week via our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC or go to our Facebook fan page, and there you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about the call to liberal Lutheranism to repentance, Dr. Curtis Lines, presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Dr. Lines, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be here.
Your church body recently urged the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest and I would say arguably most liberal Lutheran church body in the United States or North America, on the basis of Scripture, to repent of their false doctrine, renounce the spirit of the age, seek forgiveness for their blasphemies through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But I understand it that these concerns about liberal Lutheranism really go all the way back to your church body's formation. Tell us about that.
Our church body is determined to stand on the authority of Holy Scripture. This is one of the cardinal foundations of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Luther consistently maintained the primacy of Holy Scripture above all human authorities. He declared that the Bible was without error. In your large catechism, you'll find Luther writes, "We know that God does not lie, I and my neighbor, and in short, all men may err and deceive, but the word of God cannot err." The AALC accepts the Bible exactly in that fashion as what is traditionally called norma normans, the rule that rules. The Bible, the scriptures rule our lives. They are the norm of all faith and life. And this is cardinal. It's principle for us. We believe that the Word of God is infallible in its authority. It is inerrant in its nature. It is in its whole and in all of its parts inspired, truly reliable, non-contradictory, clearly expressed, easily understood. And in that regard, it is for us the infallible authority and rule of our lives. Our concern, as expressed in this letter, and frankly, as expressed from our very beginning, is that we are, to the best of our ability, committed to live that faith and not depart from it, for it is the Word of God to us.
Tell us a little bit about how the American Association of Lutheran Churches came to be.
26 years ago, there was a movement of gathering, a coalescence of American Lutherans, and we were part of one of the bodies that were considering coming together. In that process, we found that some things that are especially dear to us seem to be minimized in the process. Those things are, first of all, the authority of the Holy Word of God, and next, our what we call a quia subscription to the Lutheran confessions. For us, the Lutheran confessions correctly interpret and explain Holy Scripture. And we accept the Lutheran confessions quia because they do indeed correctly interpret the Word of God. And in these things, we did not find ourselves distinct from other confessing and confessional Lutherans, but we did find ourselves in greater and greater distinction from some of the participants that were coming together to form what is now the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. These two things, the place and primacy of Scripture and the subscription to the Lutheran confessions, were extremely important to us. But with them, we found that there were some other things, or at least may I say that today in retrospect, we can clearly see that there were other things that were implicit. Not only were the Scriptures diminished in their importance, but with them, that is the diminution of Scripture, and then with what appeared to be a diminution or a lessening of purposeful confessional Lutheranism, with those two things came, in my opinion, a new understanding, or perhaps a very old understanding, of humanity, of the place of an understanding of sin, and the requirement to proclaim both law and gospel, and finally, an accommodation with culture. So these aren't new things. I think we've seen them throughout the history of the church. We saw them in the patristic era. We saw them in the medieval church. Luther faced those things. But now today, we're seeing them again, a skewed or twisted understanding of humanity, a lessening of the true proclamation of the Word of God, including both law and gospel, and then finally a compromise with the culture of the day.
The actual terms of your call to repentance, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, you've touched upon these in your previous answer, but a little more detail. You say you ask them on the basis of Scripture to repent of their false doctrine. What particular teachings does the American Association of Lutheran Churches have in mind there?
May I say, first of all, that we're kind of late to the dance. And I want to make somewhat of an apology about that. Until August of 2009, the ELCA expected its ordained ministers to abstain from homosexual sexual relations. Even if they considered themselves to be homosexual, they agreed that they would abstain from those homosexual relations. However, August 21 of 2009, the ELCA passed four ministry policy resolutions that provided recognition of and support for homosexual relations, and for persons to be rostered leaders within the ELCA who practiced homosexuality. Then 2 years later, in July of 2011, in a churchwide assembly that is now, I suspect, somewhat infamous across Lutheranism, the ELCA passed a statement permitting clergy to have homosexual partnerships and to allow the blessing of homosexual unions. Finally, last year, in 2013, Guy Irwin, an open and practicing homosexual on the ELCA clergy roster, was installed as a bishop of the Southwest California Synod. At our national convention, there was growing concern that the AALC has not been involved in making a statement about these actions. We have not allowed our voice, albeit a small one, to be heard in concert with other confessional Lutherans. So we are 4 years behind the adoption of similar resolutions made by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and documents created and affirmed by the International Lutheran Council. But still, we want all concerned to know of our recent resolutions. We stand with you, Todd, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in our determination to respond to the issue of homosexuality with the deepest possible Christian love and pastoral concern, all the while maintaining our belief that Scripture is the infallible Word of God and the Church's sole standard of doctrine and life. We are mindful that we ourselves are sinful and unclean, that we are in constant need of God's grace in Jesus Christ, that this is no excuse at the same time for sinful actions by ourselves or by our brothers and sisters. In fact, it's just the opposite. Because of the atoning sacrifice of Christ our Lord, it is more incumbent upon us to recognize and repent for our sinful actions. And because of the cross of Christ, we take seriously our own responsibility to stand with our sisters and brothers and be accountable before God. And so these actions by fellow Lutherans, by the ELCA, which stand directly in contradiction with the commands of God and Holy Scripture, are a concern for us. Not only are they sin, but they sanction sin, teach sin, and endorse sin as if it were the will of God. And for this, we bear responsibility, especially if we do not recognize it, repent of it, and call the ELCA to repent of it as well.
We're talking with Dr. Curtis Lines. He's presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches, calling liberal Lutheranism to repentance on this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. When we come back, their call to repentance to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America also asks the ELCA to renounce the spirit of the age. We'll see what they mean by that right after this. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd, we're talking about a call to liberal Lutheranism for repentance. Dr. Curtis Lines is our guest. He's presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Dr. Lines, your call to repentance, your church body's call to repentance to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, also asks them to renounce the spirit of the age. What exactly is meant by that?
Again, I don't think this is particularly new. It just seems to take different manifestations across the history of the church. The spirit of the age is a deep humanism. It is a new anthropology that is unbiblical. The anthropology says, first of all, there is within us as a natural thing the goodness that is inherently going to win and merit God's favor, do that which will bring us our own redemption. The spirit of the age says that I myself am like God, if not a God, and am the author of my own salvation. Of course, that's in direct contradistinction to everything that we believe, teach, and confess. We recognize in ourselves that we cannot save ourselves and are justified by grace alone, by faith, apart from any works of the law. Another aspect of the spirit of the age is because of the elevation or even idolatry of self, everything is held to the measure of myself. If it doesn't feel good to me, whether it's the word of God or the word of man, if it doesn't feel good to me, then I discount it. If it doesn't make sense to me, if it doesn't measure up to my intellectual understanding, I discard it. I am the measure of right and wrong. That, too, is the spirit of the age. So the culture, the voice of man, and my own voice become the distinguishing and discerning voices that tell me right and wrong, truth and falsehood, that give me the voice of authority. So the spirit of the age takes the word of God, the authority of God's word, and subverts it, lowers it beneath the word of man, the scrutiny of man. The spirit of the age doesn't allow itself to be scrutinized by the word of God. It scrutinizes the word of God. It measures the word of God and decides what part of it will be kept, what part of it will be discarded, what part of it measures up.
And finally, you use a term in your call to repentance of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that is not common parlance in our culture or even, sadly, in the church today. You call upon them to seek forgiveness for their blasphemies through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's very strong language. How would you describe that word, blasphemies, when it comes to what the ELCA has done of late in the last decades?
The Bible teaches that if one were able to keep the entire law but failed in one point, the person would be guilty of the entirety. And if one breaks the least of the commandments and teaches others to do so, that person is the least in the kingdom of God. all sin is evil, and sexual sin is especially evil. Run from sexual immorality, Paul says to the church at Corinth. The person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, he says. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. The blasphemy is based upon several things. First, it is to diminish or discount the word of God. Second, it is to sanction that which is in contradistinction or contrary to the word of God. And third, specifically, that which is done with the body, that is immorality as specified by the word of God. God's design is that sexual relations should take place in the covenant of holy marriage between a man and a woman, we find in 1 Corinthians 7. Those who have sexual relations outside of marriage, heterosexual, homosexual, any sexual relations outside of marriage have broken God's commandments. They are called adulterers or fornicators, and the language of Scripture is equally uncompromising when it speaks of homosexuals. These persons having relations outside of marriage are functioning outside of the Word of God, and to sanction that as a church body, to place the imprimatur of blessing upon those actions and those relations is contrary to the word.
So how did the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America get to this point? How would you describe that to someone who has, as you said, somewhat apologetically, kind of come late to the party, thought all Lutherans are the same, and is only now realizing that there are some that are deeply concerned about this direction? How did the ELCA get to that point?
Well, that's a 100-plus-year-old process. The sanctioning or blessing of homosexual unions didn't arise full-blown. It wasn't an adult burst. It's the result of a long process of diminishing the authority of Scripture, of rewriting the interpretation of Scripture. I'm now almost, 40 years ago, I entered seminary. And I remember hearing in my seminary, and this was not an LCMS seminary, you will quickly see. I was born and raised as a Lutheran. I was catechized as a Lutheran. I went to seminary, to a Lutheran seminary. And I recall hearing that all persons would go to heaven and that even Satan himself would go to heaven because of the inescapable magnetic draw of Christ. Well, that's directly in contradiction with Holy Scripture. The Lord tells us of sheep and goats and eternal punishment. Well, how do we get to the place where we discount Scripture and create a myth that Christ is so compelling and beautiful and wonderful that when he's lifted up, he'll draw men to himself? That's a good Scripture, but it doesn't deny the fact that surely every knee will bow and every tongue confess, but some of them will not be confessing and bowing from the paradise of God, but from a place of God's eternal damnation. What great peril there is when we deny the judgment of God and the truth of the law of God. I remember going to school with men who heard and grappled with the miracles of Christ, and in holding them, conforming them to their own reason, made up their own understandings and interpretations. In fact, in a relatively recent conversation with a pastor not Missouri or AALC, not Missouri Synod or AALC, but a Lutheran pastor nonetheless, in conversation about the raising of Jairus' daughter, I said, well, here's the pericope for the coming Sunday. As you've done your exegetical work and prayed and asked the Lord for guidance for your congregation, what will you be preaching? And he said, well, that God raises up good people and uses them. Well, surely God can use a donkey. He can use and bless all folk. But what will you say about what Christ has done in the raising of a dead one? And he said to me, you don't actually believe that's true, do you? Of course I do. Of course I do. Yes, I said, brother, I believe Christ raised the daughter of Jairus. I believe he raised the widow's son at Nain. I believe he raised Lazarus. I believe he himself was raised from the dead, and that all those who believe in him will literally and physically be raised. Do you not believe in the resurrection of Jesus in every sense of the word? And he said, and I'm telling you the truth, he said, I believe Mary thought Jesus was raised. Well, in what way do you think he was raised and he not raised? So now we're in the realm of speculation and hypothesis. Perhaps Jesus was raised in the minds of the disciples, and that he lived on in the body of Christ that lives today. Well, that's no resurrection of Jesus. That's no promise of eternal life. The primacy of Holy Scripture is at the root of all that we see in the compromise with our culture.
Dr. Curtis Lines is presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. We're talking with him on this Friday afternoon about a call to repentance to liberal Lutheranism. When we come back, a few housekeeping details. In fact, he mentioned a relationship between the American Association of Lutheran Churches and the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, two confessional church bodies. What exactly is that relationship? We'll get an answer to that question on the other side of the break. After our conversation with Dr. Curtis Lines, we will spend some time with Pastor Ted Giese reviewing the movie The Maze Runner. It's another one of this dystopia. Teen finds himself in a world in over his head. We'll find out what the movie's like, what the message is, what Christians might find easy to recognize in that. Then a little bit later, Pastor Steve Shave will be our guest. Church planting is all the rage. Well, it should be. It's a good thing to do. One church planting another church. So how does it happen biblically? How does a Lutheran church plant churches? Well, one of the pieces of conventional wisdom today is that pastors kind of freelance it. They decide that maybe they've got a house over here where there's a man who seems like he's pretty capable in speaking and seems like he's a pretty decent fellow. People might even regard him as kind of a pastor. He's not ordained, not that he really needs to be. And so they'll put some theology into him and give him a few classes and boom, church, a new congregation led by someone who is neither called nor ordained. Is that how we plant churches? Or do we take our time and do it right? We're going to talk about that with Pastor Steve Shave, who's Director of Urban and Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program. It's a simple game we like to play with our listeners every Friday as often as we can. We play four soundbites from Issues Etc. audio in this last broadcast week, and then you listen and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. We come back about another 10 minutes with Dr. Curtis Lines, presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent. in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and issues, etc., is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit TrinityBayRidge.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Curtis Lines, and we're talking about his church body, the American Association of Lutheran Churches, calling liberal Lutheranism to repentance on this Friday afternoon, October the 3rd. We're going to be spending some time with him talking about the nature of the relationship between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Dr. Curtis, tell us about that relationship. You mentioned it before, but the devil's always in the details, so to speak. What is the relationship between the AALC and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
We have, I'm delighted to say, forged an understanding of a common devotion to Scripture and quia subscription to the Lutheran confessions, and a desire to stand together in altar and pulpit fellowship, recognizing the truth of the gospel proclaimed from our common pulpits and the rightness of the administration of the sacrament that is distributed from our common altars. We have altar and pulpit fellowship, and that is of extraordinary importance to us.
So what would you say to someone listening to us who says about who is perhaps a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America or a pastor there, or even their presiding Bishop Eaton, who has actually said publicly that they believe that the Holy Spirit has moved their church body to make these changes, to adapt to the culture in the way that they have, that this is the Spirit's guidance, and in their words, the Spirit is doing a new thing. What would you say?
Yeah. As the second century was coming to a close, around the year 185 and following up to the close of that century there was a move of the Spirit, and the Montanists were recognized as spirit people. And Priscilla and Maximilla were two prophetesses who initially were recognized as saying things that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But soon Priscilla and Maximilla began to say things that were in contradistinction to or in contradiction with what was acceptable as the Word of God, what had been understood as the truth of the apostolic teaching. And quickly the church stopped them. "No," they said, "what you are declaring cannot be the truth of God because it is not in conformity with the teaching of the apostles, and it is not in conformity with the teaching of Christ." Surely before that time, there were other examples of persons who claimed spiritual inspiration that were not in conformity with the accepted and understood and believed teachings of Christ and the apostles. And since that time, there have been examples across the history of the church. But it has been the uniform accepted belief and practice of the Holy Catholic Church and of confessional Lutherans that we stand on Scripture. We are sola scriptura people. That it is not going to be conformed to us or to our understanding or to our emotions or even to our own best understanding of our inspiration, because our understandings and our emotions and even our own inspiration changes, but the Word of God is not. And it must be that which rules us, our own understanding or emotions or even our own sense of what God is saying today cannot rule us.
Finally then, Dr. Lines, you said earlier in our conversation that the American Association of Lutheran Churches has, in its recent call to repentance to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, has come late to the party. Why was that?
I think that question exposes our newness. I hope and believe that what is distinctive about the AALC is not our theology or our beliefs. I believe that we stand with historic Lutheran teaching and confession, with the historic Lutheran Church and with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, with Lutherans around the world who believe, teach, and confess that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God, and confess the Lutheran symbols, the Lutheran confessions. In that way, we're not distinctive, but in this way, we are. We're distinctive because we're 26 years old. And we're tiny. We're small. We're maturing, and I pray that we're maturing quickly, but there are many things that we have not yet faced, and there are many things about which we have not yet made organized and unified statements or given public answers based upon our body in convention. In that regard, we come late to the party. We're just catching up in some regards. And so I make apology in some sense. We are small and we are young. But if I may be so bold, in other regards, being where we are is a good thing. We have a small voice, but it's a big voice. It's a clear voice for Christ, for his words, for his sacraments, for what we believe, teach, and confess as Lutherans. And because we are small, we can afford to be especially relational. And uniquely relational. May I, by want of an example, give a commercial of sorts? Just last night, quite late, got back from New Mexico and California. There were some fellows I wanted to see. So I stopped to see a series of guys one at a time. Every once in a while, I'd get two together and then have a chance to talk with each one separately. And after I talked with one of the fellows, asked him what he was up to for the rest of the day, he said, "Well, I'm going home to fix a chicken coop. I've got to build a chicken pen for my chickens." And I said, would you like a hand? And he said, well, aren't you tired? Well, yeah, but aren't you tired? So we spent the next several hours building a chicken coop. And during that time, we talked about his life, his ministry, his gifts, his wife, his kids, his church, his vocation, his joys, his sorrows. Well, that's, you can't put a price on that. That's a little family dynamic. And in our small church body, we're like the small church in any town, USA. That small church, when Miss Ida isn't in church on Sunday, everybody knows because she's not sitting in her pew. And by that afternoon, she's had umpteen phone calls, and everybody knows that Miss Ida is sick today. And if she needs her medication, somebody's already gone down to the Walmart and picked it up. And if she needed chicken soup, somebody's already brought it to her house. And the AALC is much like that. Every pastor, there are less than 100 pastors. Every congregation, there are less than 75 congregations. Every one of them is precious to us. We have growth, and I pray by God's grace, great growth, both within our hearts and in our expansion and extension of the kingdom of God. But right now, we are young and small. And in one regard, that brings us late to the party. But in another regard, it makes us passionate when we get there.
Dr. Curtis Lines is presiding pastor of the American Association of Lutheran Churches. Dr. Lines, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Pastor. God's blessings to you.
When we come back, Pastor Ted Giese is going to join us. We'll do our movie review with him. The Maze Runner is the film. Stay tuned.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Ernst Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Ernst is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.